Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Geshla should be with us in just a few moments. Today is a very special program that we're very excited about. The Children in the Family program are working on biographies of our two Geshis that will take the form of a graphic novel. They have done extensive interviews with Geshe Sangpo, and today they will be interviewing Geshe Gelick, and we will all have the benefit of hearing Geshla talk about his life experiences. So this will be a very wonderful program, and we're looking forward to it. Thank you. Geshe Gelick is here.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning, Geshla.
Good morning, all the young friends from the center. So, Shukla, no Lamulas today. So first we will say some prayers, okay? So then after that you can ask me questions. All right.
Start with Shakyamuni Buddhist mantra three times. Mone, mone, maha, mone, soha, eata, mone, maha, mone, soha, eata, now the Medicine Buddha verse of praise and mantra. So let's say this mantra seven times. Bhagawan, with equal compassion for all, whose name, when merely heard, dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha, lapis light. Heyata om bhagante bhagante mahabhagante atasamo bhagante soha. Heyata om bhagante bhagante mahabhagante Maha bhikkhante bhikkhante raja samugate soha. Heyata om bhikkhante bhikkhante. Maha bhikkhante raja samugate soha. Heyata om bhikkhante bhikkhante. Maha bhikkhante bhikkhante raja samugate soha. Now the four immeasurables. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings
be free
from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. Now the two mantras. First, the one for Chen Reisik, Buddha of infinite compassion. Not veiled by any fault, white in color, whose head a perfect Buddha crowns in light, gazing compassionately at all beings. To you, Chen Reisik, all seeing one, I prostrate. So let's say this mantra 8 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 And the last one is for Green Tara, first reverse of praise, and then her mantra 7 times. Tare liberates from cyclic existence. Tare liberates from the 8 fears. Ture liberates from all sickness. I prostrate to the liberator, Mother Tara. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Soha. 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 And then let's also say the refuge and bodhicitta prayer. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened. The Dharma, the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I be the Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened. To the Buddha, the Dharma, the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened. To the Buddha, the Dharma, the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create
through listening to the Dharma,
may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Lama. Thank you very much. So, I brought my friend to say hello to all my little friends here. That you are going to ask me questions. And my friend is going to answer.
My friend is going to answer.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Geshe-la.
Good morning.
I'm going to start the kids off. And this is just, I know that you know what they've been doing, but I want to let everyone in the room know that the kids have been working on a book project for quite some time, starting last summer.
Oh.
And we asked the kids before this meeting how they would describe their project. So This is some of their words. I'm just saying this for them. So this book project is about Geshe Sangpo and Geshe Gelug's life. We want to show their experience and travels from Tibet and India to Sarajay Monastery. We want to understand what it is like to be a monk. And we're doing this by making them into superheroes. because their life stories are important to all of us. This is what the children mean when they say that your life stories are important to them. Okay. They said that Geshe Gelug, you and Geshe Sangpo's lives teach us that there's hope for a better future. You teach us that we can become better people and that we can deal with things on the outside better, which makes everybody's life better, including ourselves, through small changes. So now I'm going to turn it over to Julie, who has been with us on Sunday morning teachings all summer and all fall, and she's going to give a brief history of the project.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for letting me be here. I'm so very happy that I was able to work with the kids. This book project was started in the summer of 2019, and we made the best of the pandemic by meeting every Sunday to work on this project together through Zoom. And other digital platforms have allowed us to create art and work together and to share our everything that we created together. Through this joyful effort, we have learned to share, to learn about our lives, of our dear Geshes, Dharma, and about each other. And we would like to thank Geshe-la for letting him sit with us and sharing the story of your life. The children are making a virtual offering of artwork to you and your wonderful for all the wonderful Dharma that you teach us. We are honored by your service to Kadampa. So children, when I call your name, please show your artwork so that one of us can service. Now we're going to take turns and ask Geshe-la about the questions. I think that was Vivian's part and I got mixed up. Sorry about that, Vivian. So now.
So thank you for sitting with us. We really appreciate it. So I'm just going to call the kids' names. And then they're just going to show their artwork and say hello to everyone. And this is Olivia. Of course, you guys know her as my daughter. She was itty bitty when you last saw her. But now she's quite a young lady. Olivia, you want to say hi? We can't hear you.
Do I show my artwork now?
Ma'am.
What? Sorry,
I couldn't hear. Can you show us the picture that you're dedicating?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Thank you very much.
And then there's Sonder. And each one of these children brings something beautiful to the group. Sonder, and that is, you want to say hello, Sonder, and tell us a little bit about your picture?
Oh, Kadampa Sonder. Oh, thank you very much.
My name is Sonder. I live in Charleston, West Virginia, and I... I did, I swear.
Oh, very beautiful. Thank you very much. Yeah,
thank you, Sonder. Also, we have Ari with us today.
Hi, my name is Ari, and this is my picture.
Thank you so much. Very beautiful, man.
And then we have Bella. And Bella, you want to say hello to us and tell us where you're calling from?
My name is Bella, and I live in California, and this is my flower.
Thank you so much,
Bella. And then we have Sophia, never least. Here she is.
Oh, very nice. Thank you.
And Sophia, where are you calling in from, friend?
North Carolina, Mooresville.
Oh, North Carolina.
So What we're going to do right now, and I will also want to say thank you to the mothers and fathers who supported these children to participate in what was, you know, a very different environment. So we're going to take turns, and now our questions will begin. We have 30 questions. If we don't finish, we will see if we can talk to you another time as well. But we start with Olivia, who has a question for Geshe.
First, thank you very much. All your beautiful art. Really appreciate it. Okay.
What does your name mean?
What does my name mean?
Yeah.
What does my name mean? Geshe, you know, Geshe is the title. So when you finish all your education in the monastery, so then you become Geshe. So then that's the title. So Gelek, Geshe Gelek. Gelek is my actual name. So in Tibetan society, when we are born, so our parents don't name us. We request our name at the monastery so that high monk, they give us our name. So our parents request. So nowadays, it's a little bit, I think it's the same thing. So we request our name. Nowadays, most of the Tibetan family, they request their children's name to His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, so that His Holiness Dalai Lama give the name to the children. So my name was given by one of the monk who lives not very far from my hometown where I was born. So then he gave me name Gelek Chöda. Gelek means virtue, the good virtues. Chöda means spread the teaching or Dharma. So that's the meaning of my name thank you for the wonderful questions. Oh, yeah.
Skander, you're next,
Okay, Skander, your question. Okay, before you became a monk, what was your home life and hometown like?
Oh, very good question. Before I became a monk, my hometown is very small. I think there's like 200 family live there. It's like 14,000 feet above sea level. It's very cold. Nothing much happening there. So we have dogs. I think we have a few cats, not of my family, but the village. We have dogs, a lot of dogs, and a few cats. And we have a lot of yaks, animals, yaks. You know, yak, there's like kind of like, looks like cow, but they have more hair. So then we have goats, we have sheep. And we have people, so, and trees, and high mountains, snow, few wild berry that grows on the mountains. Maybe one store, they sell one convenient, tiny, tiny convenience store, only one. There no power. So, yeah, that's my hometown before I become monk. Very good questions. Wait, sleeping?
Thank you.
Oh, you're sleeping? Thank you very much. Say a little bit loud.
My mom likes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Maybe just, you see, there's one eye there. There's not only. When I hear, when I did, maybe something happened, I'm not sure it will be up there.
My mom is laughing right now.
My friend's very talkative. Isn't it? Is it?
All right, you ready?
Yeah. Were you the only child from your hometown going to the monastery to be a monk?
Oh, very good question, Yinzi. Thank you for asking questions. Oh, yeah. I'm not only child, so it's like one, two, three, four. I think five of them. Before me, there's only one girl. It's like five or six, I'm not sure, like when he went to the monastery. So then I am in the second group. So then there's more boys went to the monastery. Before us, there's only two boys who went to the monastery. Then after that, when they came back, so, you know, our village is very small. Everybody knows everybody, you know. So when they come back, so then they're telling a story. Oh, that what a wonderful experience riding a bus and like seeing like train. And that kind of pumps up, kind of makes all the kids in the village excited to go. So I'm one of them. So then after that, I went. So when I was 7 years old, so then I went to the monastery. So you need to ride train 7 days and night to get to the monastery. My hometown is way up near like Himalayan mountains. So monastery is down, way down, deep south, down. So nowadays it takes, I think, 3 days. You can, before the train is not good, it takes 7 days. So after when you get out of the train, you still seems like you are kind of moving, like you hear the noise constantly, and you are become like a little bit disoriented. So you still feel like that you are kind of moving. So I'm the second group, okay? Very good question. Thank you very much. Sorry, my friend is talkative. Sometimes he sleeps.
Bella, you ready?
What did your parents do?
What did my parents do? So unfortunately, my parents could not read and could not write because they never got educations. So after 1959, a lot of Tibetan people escaped from Tibet because there's like the problem in Tibet, big problem in Tibet. So a lot of Tibetan people, they left. So my father and my mother is probably, they also left after 1959. So my mother and my parents, what they do is, you mean for living? So they like work for the army to build the road, So what my mother does, like they're like, you get this big piece of stone, so you get hammer, so then you break this big piece of stone, turn it into gravel. So all day long, basically, you just breaking the rock. So then the leader, from the workforce, the leader then comes, then they measure the gravel by bucket. So that's how you get money. If you manage to break more rock, then you get more money. So that's what my parents did a long time. So basically building a road for the army. And my father also looked to build some kind of small bridge here, there, small fence, side of the road. So hard working, yeah, very, very hard work. Yeah. Wonderful questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I need to turn up. Yeah, very good question.
Thank you.
And then?
What did you feel about becoming a monk?
Oh, what do I feel? Oh, at the beginning, very excited because I'm leaving my town, because my town, there's nothing much happening. I'm so excited to get out of my town. When I go to the monastery, and the very next day, I want to go back home, too late. And I throw myself on the ground and cry and do all kinds of things. It's too late, too far, no money. So basically got stuck in the monastery. So yeah, the beginning, so excited to see the train, see the bus. So then when you got there, very next day, want to go back. And it's too far, no money, too little, too far. I myself, too little. My home is very far, so then basically, yeah, stuck there. So then every 3 years, then you can get 2 months holiday, then you can go to see your parents every 2 months, right? Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I like your hat.
I like your hat.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Samantha, you ready?
Okay.
Can you hear? Can you hear? Okay.
Oh yeah, I can hear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. How long did it take to travel home in a chicken truck?
How long it takes? From my hometown to the monastery?
Yeah.
Oh, at that time, like 7 days and 7 nights train ride. So people who have money, so they probably have better, what you call, cart, the train. You know, there's like first class, second class, then third class. So we have no money. No money means very little money. So basically, we end up in the third class where you have to get your own seat. There's no seat number. If you have the second class, you have seat number, so you don't need to rush. So for us, we don't have seat number, so you need to get the seat. So you can hire the coolie. How do you say coolie? Or in English, it's called coolie. So there are like a bunch of guys on the train stations. You can hire them. So what they do is they take your luggage and they rush into the minute the train arrives, then they rush into the train. So then put your stuff on the seat so to reserve your seat. So what they do, we are so little, so they just grab us from the behind, just throw in from the window like luggage. So that takes like 7 nights and 7 days to get there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful questions.
Wonderful questions.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Gandhi, you ready?
What am I supposed to say?
What's the next question?
How did you feel about becoming a monk?
How did I feel? Well, that's a very tough one. How did I feel? You mean like now or then?
Then.
Well, as I said in the beginning, so excited because so the hometown, there's no chance that you can see the train. There's no train. There are no buses. So have only somebody, one family on vehicles, one jeep. They come to my hometown occasionally. Then all the children from the village, they get together and they go to the hill. So when they see the jeeps, they're coming into the village, everybody sing a song for the jeeps, because there's no vehicle. There's only one vehicle. They come occasionally come there. So in the winter time, when it snows like 6 feet, a lot of snow. There are no machines. Everybody needs to get out, shovel the snow by hand. So therefore, I was so excited to go. So then my journey was wonderful from my hometown to the riding of train 7 days, 7 nights, till I get to the monastery. So then I realized, I left my family behind. So all the people were down there. So like, besides few boys from my hometown, other than that, I don't know anybody, no family. So then very next day, I wanted to go back and did all kind of things, cry, throw myself on the ground, all kind of things to get back. Then I said, I'm too little, just 7 years old. Then home is too far, like 7 days, 10 rides, no money. So then stop. Then, when I now look back, it's all went well. It's all went well. Yeah, all went well. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Say it a little bit loud.
Say it a little loud.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Oh, yeah.
By the way, this friend.
By the way, this friend.
Coming from Florida. Florida. 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Most of the time he's silent.
Most of the time he's silent.
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 Then I let him talk occasionally. Why? Because you are very talkative. Oh yeah. When I have like children comes to my home here. Then he entertain my. Them, so they have wonderful time. Okay.
What did you take with you?
Oh, very good question. What did I take with you? There's nothing much to take. So maybe my parents sent some money. Nothing much maybe small bag, not like here, like backpack or suitcase. We don't have backpack, no suitcase. Some kind of fabric there you roll in your stuff, then you tie them with a rope. What is called not sleeping bag. Do you remember? Long time ago, army, they carry some kind of like big open bag when they roll them. And the two sides there, that you can tie them.
Bedroll, Geshe-la, I think they call it a bedroll.
Exactly, bedroll. So all the kids' blanket there, so then the coolie not able to push through the drawer because it's too big. It doesn't fit in the drawer. Cause a lot of problems, yeah. Oh, yeah, very good. Thank you so much.
What was it like in the monastery?
Oh, I guess it's good, now we have like around like 5,000 monks. When I was there, that's only like 500, maybe 50 altogether, 50 children, or 50 or something like that. Very small. So when I got there, so they just, moved into that area. It's like full of jungle, full of forest. So the Indian government set up tents, many tents. Indian government set up tents. There's no houses. There's only tents. So when I got there, that also made me sad because back home I have home, I have house. When I go to the monastery, there's no house. There's everybody living in the tents. So roof, there's some tiles they put, but all around, there's all like fabric. Actually like a military tent, they put it up. So I lived there probably six, 7 years. I'm not sure, 6, 7 years. It's hard life. So, but I think I had a wonderful time. Sometimes I miss my parents terribly. I'm the oldest child from my family. I'm the first child. Sometimes I miss them very terribly. So then I'm having bad day. Other than that, you know, most of the time I play with other kids, you know, like chasing dog, chasing donkeys, then kind of like, so then once in a while, then all of a sudden you miss your parents, so then it's not good. So other than that, then that is pretty good. So nobody's bullying, nobody's, everybody's treating each other very well. So I think because of the system in the monastery, so even though you are a stranger, they treat you like their family. So overall, all the kids get very well. Sometimes, you know, there's like some like small fight here, there, not much. Thank you very much. Very good questions. Wonderful.
Sophia, you ready?
What did you do for fun when you were a kid?
Oh, what I did for fun when I'm kids. Yeah, so chasing dogs. And monastery, we have few donkeys that belong to the monastery because monastery need to go to the market to buy supplies to feed the monks. So the monastery use the donkey to bring there, buy the stuff, then load on the donkey, then bring back to the monastery. Monastery doesn't go to the market every day. So most of the time the donkeys are free. So then the boys like me, not all of them, some of them, you know, like I'm the one of the naughty boy. So we try to chase the donkey and try to ride on the donkey. So sometimes able to ride, most of the time donkey just throw you onto the ground. That happened many times. But only one monk, he was kicked here by a donkey. They said only to the one. Most of the time we try to jump on the back of the donkey. When we jump, sometimes donkey just run, then you just fall on the ground. And not just on the ground, donkey, you know, in the monastery we have in the open field that we grow corn. So there's all the corn stalks been burned. There's a lot of ashes on the field. Donkey like to hang out on the ashes because they roll over the ashes. Maybe they're kind of itching. So that's where we boys go and try to corner the donkey and try to ride up on the donkey. Sometimes you just jump, donkey run, then you just collapse on the ashes. Then you all become like clown, white. You know, so then you get kind of afraid to go back to the tent because your teacher may get you punishment because now your clothes are all dirty. So that's the kind of fun. So then sometimes the stories, you know, like the one of the elder monks evening then tell stories. So then all the kids get there together and listen to stories. No TV, no video game, no toys. Donkey and dog.
What?
Real donkey, real dog. Very good questions. I have good fun. Please don't worry, okay? So sometimes I miss my family. Then that was, you know, that's not good day. But other than that, it's pretty good. Hawaii. Yeah.
How long does it? No, never mind. That's a different question. Sorry. What is your favorite mantra, and why?
My favorite mantra is like, I want chocolate chip cookie from the Whole Food. That's my favorite mantra. Chocolate chip cookie from the Whole Food. just joking. My favorite mantra. That's a very good question. So I never thought about that. Favorite mantra. I should say Lama Tsongkhapa mantra. If I need to choose one, probably I choose Lama Tsongkhapa mantra. Favorite. But that's a very interesting question. So like you ask any monks what's your favorite mantra, they are going to froze. They are going to froze maybe a few minutes. It's not something that's a tough question. So I think Lama Tsongkhapa mantra. So that's one that I do, like I try to do every day, you know. So even though there's many other mantras, so then I do, first mantra that I do is Lama Tsongkhapa mantra, okay? To keep my mind sharp, so then I do Lama Tsongkhapa mantra. Very good questions. Do you have any favorite mantra?
I think I like the Green Tara mantra.
Oh, very good. Say, wonderful. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, very good.
Then there's also, is he green?
Is he green?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yes, he's green.
Oh, very good. So then there's somebody's, favorite mantra is Green Tara mantra. That means now on you recite Green Tara mantra every single day. Will you?
Will you?
Yes. Oh, very good. Yeah, he's going to recite now Green Tara mantra every day. Yeah. Isn't it?
How did they teach you to have a photographic memory?
Oh, you're asking very good questions. You're asking intelligent questions. Photographic memories. In my monastery, so education systems is required, very much required memorizations. You memorize. When you memorize, then you have to look at the text. You have to look at the text again and again, 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 till you memorize. So you can kind of create a photographic image by looking at the text again and again. So that you remember when you recite the text without looking at the book. Sometimes you kind of remember the page number and which line you are going through, you remember quite well. Other than that, our education system is very vocal, not much, it's only taught from the mouth to mouth, not like based on the books, not like here. So therefore, maybe next time when you go to the monastery, not to become monk, just to look around. So maybe you can teach the young monks maybe how to create the, what do you call? Photograph?
Photograph.
You can teach them. You can teach. Okay. I have beautiful house in the monastery. All of you, welcome to go there. You know, so they will treat you like king and queen. So then you can see a lot of young monks and you can ask all kinds of questions. Now we have probably around 300 kids in the monastery. Before, like when I was there, like only 35, 40. Now we have many. We have very good education system.
Mom would need a cave.
Your mom did what?
A cave.
Oh. Your mom needs a cave?
Mom needs a cave. Yeah, mom needs a cave.
Oh, unfortunately, in the monastery, there's no cave.
Well, wait, unless it's near a mountain.
Yeah, monastery is kind of far from the mountain, but I have good friends in Nepal. So there's a lot of cave that she can go. Okay? If she wants to go.
But there is the cave, it's strong.
Yeah. Monastery is like big, like kind of like small city. It's like kind of many houses crammed together. It's like small town. There's we do have mountains, but we have to drive like maybe hours. Then you can, oh, if you're willing to drive 1 hour from the monastery, that's nice cave. But there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of monkey. I don't think monkey will leave you alone. I think that mountain is like 3,300 something step, like stairs built by solid rock. You climb. I climbed there one time, only one time, but it's open, so it's free of charge. You can go. Next time, so when you go to the monastery, so I'll ask my student to take you there, okay? Then you can decide. All right. Really? Yeah, very good question.
What did you have to do to become a Geshe?
Oh, that's a very tough question too. So, oh, you need to study quite hard. You need to memorize, you need to learn how to write, read, and you need to memorize many, many pages. Then there's like followed by six-year exam, 6 years. Takes you to become Geshe like 20 plus year, then you become Geshe. 20 plus year, then you become Geshe. A lot of hard work. So very good questions. Okay. Thank you, my friend. Very good questions. What's your name?
My name is Ari.
Ari? Ari, thank you so much.
Hi, thank you so much.
Wonderful questions.
Wonderful questions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah?
Were you in charge of teaching other monks?
Yes, after my Geshe, yes. Yeah. Not like thousands of students, but like some, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Hello, Dr. Brown.
I don't see Sophia, so I'm going to ask her a question. Do you have a higher distinction as a Geshe? They wanted to know.
Higher distinctions, what that means?
I guess is like there's, Geshe puts you at a certain level higher than a monk that is just.
Yeah, so that's a good, very good questions. So, you know, monastery is not just study, so that we have to do a lot of physical work. We need to go into the cornfield, plant the corn, so then when it grows up, so we need to cut them. Then we need to put them together, so then we have to separate the, what do you call the donkey? Huh?
The ear of corn?
Yeah, your ear of corn, you have to separate from the trees, put it back, load on the tractor, bring back to the warehouse, take out the corn, so then peel the corn, then it's a lot of work. So every year, I think like 17, 18 days that month that we go to the work in the field. So you have to work. So then you have to go to the kitchens to cook for the months. When I was there, you work there 10 days. Then there's a printing press that you go there to print the textbook. There's many chores that you need to do besides study, you know. So there are many chores. Then each time when there's like puja, so we need to make 3,000 bread. So we wake up 2 o'clock in the morning. We make the bread and barely finish around 7 o'clock, somewhere there. So then, of course, when you become Gishi, so then you don't need to go to all this chore. You are free. You don't need to go to the cornfield. You don't need to go to the kitchens. You don't need to go to the printing press to print the textbook. The many chores that you don't need to do, then you are free. So other than, you know, many ways to purify, many ways and create merit. So a lot of chores. Every chore in the monastery is run by monks. All right? Then when you become Gishi, you are free. You don't need to do any chores. Then you can sleep much as you want. Other than that, pretty much like here, like, you have to go to school. The monastery, every 5 o'clock in the morning, you hear this big gong. Boom, you hear, you have to wake up every morning. So then when I was young there, so my teacher said, wake up, don't you hear the bell? I said, yes. So then I bounced my feet on the bed, imitated that I was standing up. Then I just tried to get a few minutes sleep, extra sleep, just to get a few minutes extra sleep. I like make noise, bounce my feet on the bed, and sounds like that you're getting up. Sometimes I fall asleep. Then teacher wakes up. I was not in the prayer gathering, I was on my bed. So then I get into trouble. So you know, every monk, they try to get even like few minutes sleep. So they're not getting enough sleep. So at 5 o'clock, you have to wake up. So when you become Gishi, you don't need to bounce your feet on the bed. Nobody's going to wake you up. Now it's different. Now the kids, now they have much more, now all the kids in the monastery, they have much better lifestyle. They don't have to worry about they're going to go hungry. Yeah, when I was there many, many times, I was hungry. So just, a lot of time I was hungry. So then what we do, me and my friend, we go into the cornfield, and we eat a lot of raw corn. So that's the source of food, except the kitchens offer you food. Between the food, there's no snack. There's nothing to snack on. Only way you snack is that you go to the cornfield and eat raw corn. So they're kind of like raw corn. When you bite, it's kind of like white things comes out. It's like milk. Oh, so we eat so many. So nowadays, none of the kids. First of all, we don't have cornfield. Kids are not going hungry. Nowadays, there's plenty of food. So they are fortunate. When I was there, there's not enough food. But I'm not jealous now that young monks, they have so many food. I'm not jealous. I'm happy. You know, so they are not hungry now. Good.
Can you fall asleep during meditation and look awake?
Huh?
Can you fall asleep during meditation and look awake?
When you fall asleep when you are doing meditations?
No, sorry. Actually, the question is, can you fall asleep during meditation and look awake? So, like, can you, like, during regular meditation, you know, you're sitting with your back straight stuff. Can you fall asleep and look awake to catch, like, an extra 2 minutes of
sleep? Oh. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Do you need clarification? Do you know what she's asking?
Yeah, I asked the most part of the last part. I don't understand, like, last. Most part I understood the last part.
Uh huh. So can you meditate and look like you're actually meditating, but really be asleep and
feel around you? Oh, very good questions. Monks are the only one who can do that. Nobody else. Actually, you look like meditating, you are like nappy. Because why? Because we sit. We sit all the time, like every day, a few hours here, there we sit. Then over time, there you learn how to sit straight and take a wonderful nap. You know, so if you are like newcomer, then you go like this, you go like this, you go like, then clearly shows you are newcomer. Then you go like this, then you slow, so you realize that you don't move your head, then you sit like this. You won't move at all. Meanwhile, you are not meditating, you are having a wonderful nap. So there's the monks are the only one who can do, you know, like this. And once in a while, do you wake up by your snow? Then you wake up. You snow, then you wake up. So then we have discipliners who walks within the line, make sure that nobody's chatting, or like sleeping. So that's his responsibility, make sure. Then when the discipliners come closer, then your friend will wake you up, kind of knock on your knee to wake up. Okay. And I heard in Tibet, you know, like the prayer hall is very big and they have no powers. You know, then far corner, you can't really see. The discipliner has like butter lamp and he walks with the butter lamp just to see what the monks are doing. So then if you're sleeping, so they basically pull your ear like this, you know, so wake you up. Some monks, what they do, they put butter on their ear. They put the butter because of the butter tea, the surface of the tea, there's thick butter. So they put butter. When discipliner try to pull, can pull, it just slips through the ear. So like that. Oh. Very good. Yeah. So if you sit many hours a day, then you learn how to take wonderful nap like this. Looks like meditating. Actually, it's napping. Okay. Very good questions. And then what else?
When did you come to the U.S. and what was your first impression of the U.S.?
Well, when did I come to the U.S.? 1997. I think. Almost 20 years ago. I landed to New York City. So when I'm traveling from India to New York City first, then from New York City to came to Raleigh. So my New York City is so famous, so all my trip I'm hoping to see what New York City looks like. So I just look at through the window like this. By the time when I about to land in New York City, I couldn't move my head because my head when the Neo City appeared, I couldn't enjoy it because I can't move my neck because I'm looking like looking at the minimum hour, kind of like hard to move from. So then of course, like I've been to Europe before I came to United States. I've been to Europe, Switzerland. A few times, so then it's hard, you know, like not knowing the culture, not able to speak English very good, just first impressions it's mixed. Homesick, the miss my friend back in the monastery. Everybody goes to work, stay home all day long. And yeah, so that times I think, of course, Kadamba sent a lot of money because I use a lot of calling cards. Because every day I call India, every single day I call India. So my calling cards are like this. So probably cost center a lot of money for calling card. So then you know, so now very good. Last 20 plus years, we have very good relationship. I was treated very wonderfully. So nothing to complain. Right. Very good questions.
Also, my mom really wants that green alien thing.
What?
Well, your mom is seriously thinking to go to the Cape? Sebastian or Tenzin. Tenzin is Sebastian. Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So, Tenzin, where's my hair?
Hi.
Bring my hair back. Are you having a good time there?
Stop clicking the keys.
No?
We live in the mountains now, so language still has not been that fun.
Oh. So maybe I send my friend there. There to entertain you. You think it's a good idea? No?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to send this my friend to you. So then you can talk. Bring him to the wood and the water.
Okay, you can talk. Bring him to the wood and the water.
All right.
All right.
So then he sent back my hair. sorry for the interruption. Sorry, they just. Sorry, Vivian. Sorry. So, what is the question?
How often do you see your family?
Oh, very good question. Every 3 years, you can go for 2 months. And sometimes then, you know, 5 years, 4 years, yeah, you can go. Because it's very far, you know, it's also expensive. So if we can't travel by ourselves, then somebody has to go with us, cost more, you know. So then when I reach like 17, 18, I think 19, then I went by myself. Before that, you know, so somebody has to go with you. You can travel too far, too dangerous. Every 3 years, you can see. But, you know, there's no telephone to talk. There's no phone to talk. Oh, very cute. What is the name of your dog?
Bella.
Bella, I mean, yeah. Looks very calm. And, yeah, very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, Tene.
Bella, you ready?
Where are your family members now?
Oh, my both parents passed away. No, my parents, both of them are passed away. And my youngest brother still live in my hometown. And he has two girls. Now they are teenagers. And one of my brother live in Switzerland, Zurich. And my sister and another brother lives in New York City. So out of five, four of them, one of them in Switzerland, two of them in New York City, one here in Raleigh. Yeah.
Are you ready, honey?
Any question from Patagonia, kids from Patagonia, children? Yeah.
Ari's turn next.
What is it like to teach Westerners?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's very good. It's wonderful. Yeah, so now it's good. Now I can communicate with my friend in English. Before, you know, it's kind of hard. Want to say something, cannot say. You know, so now it's very good. Very good. So all my friends here are treating me very well. So we are very good friends. So, yeah, I enjoy. Yeah, enjoy. Very good question. Very good questions. Would you like to teach someday when you grow up?
I was planning on working with animals.
Oh, very good. Very good. So when you grow up, you are going to work with animals?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then like we have in monastery, we have many dogs. We have many stray dogs, you know, cats. So when you grow up, you can go there to help all the dogs, okay, give them food.
Maybe one day.
So then you can give them name. They don't have name. No, so you can give them name. Oh, yeah. Dene, what else?
Can you tell us about the first time you met Geshe Sampo?
Oh, that was like 1985. First time I met him in Buddh Gaya, one of the holiest place for the Buddhists. For the Buddhist. So I met him. So he's just getting out of the bus. It looks like he looks like mice just got out of the water. Snot running from his nose. So skinny. So like, yeah, so exactly it looks like mice just got out of the water. So, and Geshe Sampo is two uncle, you know, who are also monk in the monastery. One of them is my teacher, my house teacher. So, and Geshe Sampo has like, Four brothers. Out of four, one, two. Oh, out of five, four of them become monk. Four brothers become monk. The youngest one is not monk. All of them become monk. So then the same monastery, the Geshe Sampo was better than me because I have no brothers when I went to the monastery. When Geshe Sampo came to the monastery, he has three brothers and two uncles. Better up. So that was 1985. I mean, 1985, long time ago. So now he become like my, it's like my child, and I took care of him since he was 13 years old. Not just him, all his brother too. Dene? Yeah.
How did your relationship with Geshe Sampo grow?
almost like now it's more like friends. You know, when he was young, it's more like son and father figure. You know, so I'm almost like his big brother or like father. You know, like now he's all grown up. So now he does all the chores, most of the chores here. He does all the groceries. You know, so then now he's taking care of me. So me instead of me taking care of him, now he's kind of taking care of me. So it's like a brother, big brother, or maybe father figure, something like that, right? Yeah.
How do you work in collaboration with each other?
I knew. How do you say?
How do you work in collaboration with each other?
Well, if you don't listen to me, so then I'll be my mala. No, just joking. So I do my prayer every day, my prayer, he does his prayer, you know, so there's nothing much to call, how is it, collaborate, there's nothing much to collaborate, so nothing much happening here, instead of saying prayer, there's nothing much happening, so like, it's not like, yeah, it's just, he's doing his thing, he's doing his prayers, reading, studying, I'm doing my prayers, then only collaboration is like cooking lunch, then he does cookings, and he makes breakfast, he does cookings, I only eat, then he cleans the plates, so sometimes when he goes out, so then I cook once a while, the most time he cooks, nothing really to collaborate, so he does most of it. Okay. Good, wonderful question, Inge. Thank you very much. What are you holding? You're holding like stuffed animal or really animal?
Oh, it's actually a cat. His name is Osiris.
What is his or he or her?
Hmm?
What is his name?
His name is Osiris.
Osiris. Hello, Simon.
Hello, Simon.
Can you see me?
Can you see me?
Oh, bright eye. Oh, very good. Thank you for showing up. And then, what else?
Vicente from Patagonia wants to know what other animals were in the monastery. Were there birds or mice or spiders?
Oh, there's a lot of mice. Probably there is spider too, so I'm not sure like what kind of spider. I learned about spider more than I did there than here. So here, so many names, everything has name, everything has expert. So there, so probably have spider. And we have like snake, unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm not sure, cobra, king cobra, snake. So, but they are not going to chase you. They are not going to look for you. So they are there, kind of shy. And like so many crow, so many crow. And eagle, not like bald eagle, but small eagle or hawk. A few different kind of hawks, many. So many birds, there are so many birds. And many of them crow. Crow, then sparrow, different kind of types of sparrow. Chukila, did you see any other bird when you were in the monastery?
Not that I can think of, Geshe-la.
Yeah. Yeah, Chukila spent most of the time practicing when she was in the monastery. Lamula, too, they are most focused on practice. Yeah, many crows, sparrow, different types of hawk or eagle, small, snakes, spider, I'm sure, spider. A lot of ant. Yeah, then there's some more foxes, like elephant, of course, wild hawk, elephants, maybe in the jungle, maybe there's tiger, I'm not sure, or leopard. Oh. coyote, fox, not a wolf, no wolf, and elephant. Dangerous elephant, but dangerous animals, elephant and snake, cobra. Yeah. There's asking from Patagonia. It's not like Patagonia. Patagonia, there's no poisonous animals there. So, yeah, in Manaus, unfortunately, there's a lot of mosquitoes. If not millions, hundreds of thousands of mosquitoes there. Testing most practice, Dharma practice. Bed bugs. I'm not trying to scare you not to visit there, but there's bed bugs. Not nowadays, maybe used to have. Okay. And then, yeah, tell me what else.
That one? You ready?
Who are your important influences and teachers in your life, and why?
Mm-hmm. Say it again, please. One more time.
Who are your important influences and teachers in your life, and why?
Oh, that's a very good question. Wonderful questions. So now I have like altogether 16 teachers. Out of 16, now only three of them are alive. Most of them are already passed away. I was fascinated by some of their ability to explain the teachings, and also fascinated by how much they know. So then I try to be like them, you know, to study, but not nearly close. And of course, you know, not having a parent in the monastery, so they treat you like their own kids. So they, you know, they shower you, they feed you, they clothe you, so you become very close. Then like, in your mind, it's like your father figure, you know, so like very close. Then inspired by their educations, okay? So, yeah, very grateful for their kindness, very grateful. They taught me, and everything that I need to know, they taught me, and they treated me very well. And of course, then, you know, when you are like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, only thing that you want to do is play. You don't want to study. You want to just play. You know, you don't want to study. Even in the monastery, the kid doesn't want to study. They just want to play. Same like here. Wherever you go, kids just want to have fun. They don't want to study. So same like in monasteries. But monastery, we have structures. You can't just, no, play means you go outside, play with donkeys, dogs, you know, so then you make your own toys, then you play with that, and there's no video game, there's no TV to watch, there's nothing. So you just need to come up with something to play, either look at the bird or maybe something, so make toys out of something, so there's no toys. So, yeah, very good question. So, Tene?
At the end of your life, what would you like to have done?
Sorry, in the end of my life?
At the end of your life, what would you like to have done?
Oh, that's a very good question, Ninja. I like your ear. There's 2 ears, Ninja. What would I like to be done? That's a very good question. End of the day, what would I like to be done? Maybe end of the day, maybe I probably just want to sleep, I think. There's been now very, very long time. I don't remember. That's a very good question. End of the day, what I would like to be done? Hmm. So let me think about this question. Okay, so I don't have answer right now. So that's a tough question. I need to think about what I've been. I need to revisit my childhood life in the monastery. So what, end of the day, what would you like to be done? Not education, that's for sure. Not the study. So.
Isha, I think she asked, at the end of your life, what would you have like to have done?
Oh, end of my life. Oh,
is that correct? Did I hear that? Yeah.
End of my life. Oh, that's like even more further down the road. Maybe not. Maybe it could be true today. End of the life. What I would like to be done. Of course, it would be wonderful if I can actualize entire Lamrim realization within my mind stream. That's what I would like to be done in my life. So, try to have less regret, you know, regret. So, I like to be done like, less regret. Zero regret, that's too big to accomplish, but less regret for my life. Make sense? Oh, yeah, Sophia, make sense? Oh, very good. I liked your 2 ears. That like, so look at his ear, so tiny. Your ears looks much better, fluffy. Maybe I'll put one like your ear too. Maybe if we behave well, I'll probably put ear like here next time, okay? Say thank you, Sophia.
Yeah, thank you, Sophia.
Right. Okay?
What do you hope for today?
Sophia, sorry, 1 second. Okay. What do you like to be done in the world? Sophia, what do you like to be done?
I played at least every single popular game in Roblox.
Oh, very good, Ninja. Very good. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. So sorry, interview. Sorry. Please go on. Olivia, sorry to interrupt you. Okay.
It's okay. What do you hope for Tibet?
What do I hope for Tibet? I very much hope that all the Tibetan people can go back to Tibet, their homeland, and live there peacefully, side by side with our Chinese brothers and sisters, and continue to carry on the legacy of our great masters, you know, and like continue to practice the Buddha's teachings and like spread the peace throughout the world. That's what I'm hoping. Thank you very much. Wonderful questions. And please, only be a prayer for that. Maybe one day all the Tibetan people can go back to their homeland, okay? To then meet with our brothers and sisters back in Tibet who are stuck there last 60 plus years, not able to express their, not able to say what they want to say. So, and please pray, Olivia. Oh, yeah? Very good question. Oh.
If you were a superhero, what would be your superpower?
If I want to be a superhero?
Yeah, what would be your superpower?
If I want to be a superhero, what will be my superpower? Oh, that's a very, very good question. So, superhero. Superpower is like, maybe make the world the perfect place to live. If I become a superhero, I'll make the world, there'll be no zero problems. Everybody having great times, enjoying, having one, everybody having a lot of funs, no fighting. Everybody's treating each other very well. Perfect world, okay? Perfect world. I want to, that I would like to have the power to make the world perfect. No fighting, just love, kindness, cares, everybody treating, no bullying each other, everybody treating like brothers and sisters. Nobody fight for anything. Everybody have everything they needed. All right? All the wall of the house become pizza. All the floor of the house become chocolate chip cookies.
I would be eating it.
Everybody eating like no need to fight for ice cream. So all the windows become ice cream, vanilla ice cream.
Impossible burger
for
lunch?
What?
Oh, I'm just, Mom told me that to, oh, never mind.
What do you think of it? Good?
Yeah, everything's good.
Oh, very good. What will you do when you become a superhero? What will be your superpower?
Be able to make a planet and just sit there and, well, just have fun.
Oh, very good. That's very good. Have fun. And what is there for the other?
Another superpower.
No, I mean, like, what is there for other people?
Yeah, on your planet.
Well, they can have as much watermelon as they like.
Well, very good. That's wonderful.
Because I love watermelon.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What do you think? Wonderful idea. Very good.
What superpower would you give Geshe Sampo?
What superpower I give to Geshe Sampo? I give him superpower that everything I said he listened out of respect. Come and every my wish. Yeah. That's superpower. Same thing, like I will give Geshe Sampo superpower that he will make the world perfect place to live. All the children have a lot of fun. No fighting, no bullying. So elder children get everything they want and make their life happy all the times. No sadness, no crying, laughing, having fun. You know, not just you, all the kids on this planet, all right? What superpower will you give me? Or your mom? What superpower will you give to your mom?
The power to make dishes of food appear. She said the power to make dishes of food appear. I wouldn't have to cook more. Just make it appear.
Oh, yeah, very good, DJ. Very good. Very good. Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
What superpower do you think Geshe Sampo would give you?
Huh?
What superpower do you think Geshe Sampo would give you?
Oh, Geshe Sampo would give me the superpower to do all the chores that he don't have to do any chores. Okay, I will ask, Bella, I will ask that question to Geshe Sampo. So what superpower Geshe Sampo will give to me? So... that's very, very, very good questions. So I'll ask him, okay? I'll ask him, all right? So, Bella, you have any brother and sister?
Yes, I have a brother.
So what superpower you give to your family member? What superpower you give to your family member?
The power that they could make toys appear for me.
I knew, very good, very good. That's a good one. So make toys to appear for everybody. Bella. Twice for everybody.
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Very good. So sweet. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, yeah. Very good. Our children are good. No, they are good human beings. You know? I want to say thank you, Bella. One toy for me too.
One toy for me too.
Oh yeah. what else?
Sophia, I think you have the last of our scripted questions.
Okay.
Wait, is it number 27?
All right.
How long? What?
It, number 30. It's the very last one, sweetie.
I don't have a number 30 on mine.
Is there any other question that you would like to ask them?
None that I can think of.
I'm going to go ahead and read what the kids had come up with previously. What would your shared mission be together as superheroes? You and Geshe Sampa.
Oh, that would be the perfect world.
Okay.
World, no fighting, no hunger, so close to perfect world, beautiful world. Beautiful world, everybody have good times. Everybody think something good for everybody, and everybody treat everybody with kindness, out of compassion, loving kindness. Everybody receive love, tons of toys. Yeah. So you have good time. Have good time. You know, like no disease, no fighting. Yeah, just go, wonderful, wonderful place that kids feel safe, kids feel loved, care, encouraged, you know, so then make them better human beings, kind human beings, loving human beings. Oh, so that's good. So then those kids will become the best leader for our world, then our world will be peaceful one. Yeah, that's what share superpower between me and Geshe Sampa, so that's what we do. Okay? Thank you, Vivian, for organizing all this. Thank you very much, all my young friend here. So I appreciate your participation here and making our center kids program very successful. And after, like, I'm not sure how many months. When we're able to get together. I'm going to bring you. Gift. Oh, don't know what, but I'm definitely going to bring you gift. When we see each other again, okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All my young friend here.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Brown, how are you?
I wanted to just wrap up really quickly.
Yes.
Christy and Aidlin made a picture to dedicate as well. So did Julie.
Yeah.
And we all did a little. Something we didn't get a chance to share, but
I can't see it, I'm sure.
Thank you so much for all you give, Geshe.
Oh, thank you, Christy.
Thank you, Christy.
So working for the children program from. Beginning this time.
Yes, and Vivian and Julie get most of the credit for this. because of all of their dedication every single Sunday. So Vivian and Julie, I don't know if you're showing your offering. I can't see everybody, but if you show your paintings and drawings to Oh, yes. Do you see Vivian's drawing? It's a quote that you said one time. Give yourself candy.
Oh, very good. So thank you so much, Christy, Vivian, and all the people who are like helping Christy and Vivian to run the children program very successfully. So unfortunately, because of the virus, that we are not able to get together. But, you know, I pray for you, all of you, all the time, and light a candle 24 hours, 7 days a week on my altar. You can see behind here. I make sure that none of the lights goes up 24 hours. Then I pray for all of you. So because of all your participations, your dedications, your time, the center is doing well. So then able to teach our young friends to be kind, to become loving persons, kind persons. So then hopefully they will spread the peace throughout the world when they grow up. Okay, so thank you so much. Oh, yeah. So then I'll bring gifts when we meet together. Oh, okay. For the kids, I'll bring gifts. Thank you so much.
Geshe-la?
Yes?
Yeah, Royden has will say a couple of words also as we finish up.
Yeah, very good. Now, please, now. Yeah.
Thank you, Donna, and thank you, Geshe-la. And thank you, kids, for the awesome interview. I learned a lot trying to get as many people to listen to this this great session. But I was asked to say a few words on to the group, and I thought I'd start with what the Kadampa Center means to me. Mm-hmm. And you know, the millennia of teachings that has come through the years and through the center to help teach me compassion and wisdom is something that I value, and I value it more as I look around and notice how much the world is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate it more when I hear kids in the program have this wonderful discussion with our teachers. We have wonderful teachers here at the center.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been coming to the center for a while, and I thought about the years, but then I thought, you know, maybe the years aren't so important, but what I have noticed in the center is how it's changed from a basement to a physical space that's really beautiful. And some aspects due to this virus, we're interacting more on a global level with folks calling in from all over the world, Patagonia and other points far away. And and the other aspect besides compassion and wisdom that the center has helped me, it's also helped me in the practice of generosity and gratitude. And really with generosity, one of the things that I have really focused on is helping to alleviate sufferings of body and of mind. And again, there's been a lot of help to me from the Kadampa Center. So as we as a community reflect on that, I just wanted to make a little reminder that we are at the tail end of our annual appeal. And if you find it that you would like to donate to the Kadampa Center, you can find our donate button on the website, which I will put in the chat box. And I would assume everybody has our website. And I would also like to just express gratitude again to all the many people from the children's program, coordinators and volunteers, to the folks, Alejandra, that is translating. It's really amazing to think back and see where we have come as a community and where we might go. So I will just leave it with that, a little bit of gratitude to the folks in the community, and thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Royden. Thank you so much. And Royden, so most of all, you know, he's a kind man. He's like one of the kind person who supported one of our members who already passed away. So Royden really put into action what he said, you know, seconds ago. So he's a kind man. So thank you, Royden. Thank you so much. And appreciate it. So there are many people like Royden at the center who's like, you know, support member who's struggling, supports, you know, this is all due to the collective effort that we all put for the center. So benefiting, you know, benefiting personal levels, then, you know, benefiting other center beings too. So thank you so much, Royden. Wonderful. So I vividly remember what you did for Suzanne. So it's very good. So you are a kind man. And also, Kodo, so I want to say a few words here. Couldn't see Kodo now. Where? The Alejandro already left.
Yes, Gesla, she had to leave.
Okay, so anyway, so everybody, so as I said last Sunday, due to the kindness of your kindness, your effort, your dedications, so we have this beautiful center. So please, so remember that and rejoice every effort you put into the center, so benefiting people. So it's not just me, it's collective effort we all put it. So our center benefiting people, please rejoice, okay? And I pray for you every single day. Thank you so much, all my friends, young friends here. And I promise when we get together, I'll bring you gifts, okay? So the gift is going to be a surprise, not going to announce here. So I'm going to bring you a gift, okay? Thank you very much. And everybody, have a wonderful Sunday. Yeah, so maybe alhamdulillah dedications.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, may evil or ever fall ill, may no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may these never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one whose great patience who received the name Awatare, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsokapa on Bliss and Void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You uphold the subduer's moral way, who serves the bountiful Bhairaval, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Majjhana's victorious doctrine. Masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, savior of myself and others, your disciples. Please, please live long. Om Taritu Taritu Re Soha. 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 Om Taritu Taritu Re Soha.
Oh yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Skander. Thank you, Sophia. Thank you, Christibat. Thank you, Ari Huzel. Your name? Thank you, Bella. Thank you so much. Thank you, all of you. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you, Geshe-la.